Just simply a word to Moss Bluff Pentecostal Church about your focus. A word about your focus, and your focus is faith, family, and purpose. Faith, family, and purpose. Yesterday morning early, I taught leadership last night, and yesterday morning early, God started giving me some direction. I told them last night, I said, I have many leadership lessons, but it's one thing to have a lot of lessons, and it's another thing to sense what the Spirit is saying right then for a timely word. And we got off on that last night, on faith, family, and purpose. And we talked about it somewhat, and I won't repeat everything that we said last night. But this morning, whenever I got up early and was, going to look at what I felt earlier in the week, my mind just started going to this. So let's talk about faith. Let's talk about faith. I definitely believe that God is positioning individuals, families, and churches for His purpose in the end time. I believe that every individual, every family, and every church has an invitation to the greater things of God. I believe that. I believe that if you are an individual in a family, and the family as a whole is not avidly seeking God, I do not believe that God is going to penalize you. I believe that God will use you, and we must not allow family members to hold us back from what God is saying to us. Now, I know the flowing out of that can be a challenge at times, but we might deal with that a little bit more later. Let's first talk about faith, and first of all, we would say faith in Jesus Christ. Faith, putting our faith in Him, putting our trust in Him. He can handle anything in our lives. We have to make sure that we stay on that point. But when we're talking about putting our faith in Him, and when we're talking about bringing other people to faith, this is something that I may have mentioned last year or the year before. But it's something that I continually bring to the memory of people, especially long-established apostolic churches. When we look in the Word of God, and when we start talking about salvation and bringing people to faith in Jesus, we must not be guilty of negating any step in the Word of God that is connected to salvation. When we look in the Word of God, we see that there are steps connected to salvation. We see that grace is connected to salvation. Beautiful in the beautiful words in the lyrics of the song that we sang. Grace is connected to salvation. Therefore, we embrace and we celebrate grace in people's lives. Also, faith is connected to salvation. And people putting their faith in Jesus Christ is very important, and it's not to be negated. Confession is connected to salvation in the Word of God. So when somebody tells me that they're living by grace, I'm not going to frown at that. When somebody says they've put their faith in Jesus Christ, I'm not going to frown at that. When somebody says that they've put their faith and they believe in Jesus, I'm not going to look down at that. When someone says, I confess Jesus Christ, I'm not going to look down at that. Because those steps are just as connected to salvation in the Word of God as the ones that we like to jump to. So we have grace and we have faith and we have confession. Then we move into the verses and the concepts that we are so comfortable with, because then repentance is connected to salvation. Baptism by immersion, with the baptizer calling the name of Jesus Christ, which baptism becomes the New Testament equal of the Old Testament circumcision. And it's where the blood is applied and the name is taken on. Being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ is extremely important. And if you have not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, today would be a wonderful day for you to look in the Scripture. This will not make you a member of Moss Bluff Pentecostal Church. We do not baptize for membership. The reason we do not baptize for membership is we cannot find in Scripture anywhere where they were baptized for church membership. And so we want your sins, to be remitted. We baptize for the remission of sins, and that is a step in faith. Then there is the next step in faith would be the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And a lot of people get all nervous about it and messed up about it because they think it's just gibberish, or it's just people losing their mind for a moment or two or whatever. But again, the reason why we preach that, and the reason why we believe that, and the reason why we actually still have altar services in this church is because we believe people need to be born again. John 3 speaks of water and spirit. And so we're speaking of water and spirit baptism. You need to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need it. And then there is a step connected with salvation, that's endurance. And endurance is another level of faith, as we're speaking about faith. So connecting with people where they are and joining in a journey of more of God is the position that the apostolic church must get in. God help us to never think that we have it all figured out. God help us to never, never, never present ourselves as we have it all and you do not. We must get into the harvest today, and we must get into people's lives today, honoring any God connection they have as we all seek to move forward with God. Move forward with God. No, I'm not nearly about going to believe that there has been a birth when there has been a conception. When Melanie came to me and said that she was expecting our oldest child's name, Kendra, and when she said, "I am expecting," you can believe at the point of conception, much changed in my life. Much changed. The way I thought changed. The way I planned changed. So when somebody says that they have believed on Jesus Christ, don't think that change hasn't happened at that point. There is change that is happening. But Kendra was just conceived. She was born 9 months later. And what we have to do as apostolics going into the harvest and going into Moss Bluff, we have to have a very clear understanding of what is conception and what is birth, but not look down on anyone who has experienced a conception. You just made the announcement that there's going to be a new baby born, right? All right. So we're anticipating that birth. But I promise you, whenever they started saying, we're expecting a baby, nobody looked at them. I hope nobody looked at them like, well, no big deal. We don't want to hear a word about that until we see that baby. And so we need to have an understanding that if Moss Bluff Pentecostal Church is going to be focused on faith, then we need to have a great understanding of faith. And we also need to understand that biblical revelation must not ever be held hostage by family tradition. Now, it's very easy for us to say when we're in a family and everybody believes in Acts 2:38 and all that. That's real easy. But let me tell you, as we walk with God, and as God continues to lead us and guide us, as we give ourselves to Him, like, for instance, Ryan has done and served on a missions term, and we don't know what his future is. Well, I can tell you this, that walking with God, I didn't realize that this would be the week and next week would be the week and that trucks would pull out of with everything we own from Louisiana heading to Indiana. There would have been no way that a few years ago you would have convinced me that we would be loading everything and moving to Indiana. Now, I'm not saying that everybody has to move and everybody's life has to get turned upside down, but don't you get born again and then get comfortable and stuck. And the reason why a lot of people are not being used on the dimension that God wants to use them is they have to have it all figured out, and it all has to be pretty, and everything has to be in line. No, when we're talking about endurance and when we're talking about walking in faith, then there are times that you have to step out and you really don't know exactly how it's going to work out. I had a man tell me one time, his name's Gary Slayton. He passed away, but many of you know him, and we were very good friends, and he told me, he said, Pastor Terry, he said, can I say something to you and you won't be offended? I said, well, yeah, Gary, I imagine so. He said, and this was several years ago, he said, you're going to struggle really being Spirit-led because you're one of these men that has to have everything in order. And I said, you are exactly right. There are times when we talk about faith, when we're pushing faith. Faith has more dimensions than just being born again. Faith, we're born again, but then it takes faith in our life to continue and to become. And that will be until we die. It's interesting in Luke 18:8, at the end of that, it said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on earth. When the Son of Man comes, listen, life is going to beat you up. Like it happens. There are things that happen to us we cannot explain. Every one of us, if we've lived long at all, there have been things we have not been able to explain or understand. But we have to keep our faith in what? In Jesus Christ. We have to keep our faith in God's Word, and we have to step into endurance. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Well, it sounds like to me, if there's so much said in Scripture about endurance, then there's going to be times that we're going to be going through things that we have to endure. There's a major difference in endurance and enjoyment. I don't go away from a great time with my friends and say, well, boy, thank God I endured that. No, I enjoy that. There are other things that I endure. But when you connect everything in the Word of God with salvation, you will see that endurance is a part of that. Hebrews 11, when it speaks about faith, it's by faith. Abel offered. Enoch was translated by faith. Noah prepared an ark by faith. Abraham went out by faith. Sarah, by faith, received strength and to receive seed. Many did not receive their answer, but they kept the faith. When I come, When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Whenever you're getting beat up and when things are not going right and you planned well and everything failed. I can't imagine right now what those two members of that family of 11 in Branson, in that boating accident where 17 people were lost, nine members of one family, 11 members on that boat, and only two of them alive now. I cannot imagine what they are going through. I don't know that they're going to have the faith. I hope they're people of faith. I hope they are people that can trust God. But the question comes to every one of us. We don't know what we're going to face. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in your life? Will he find faith in my life? Am I going to be someone of faith? Several months ago, we were trying to make all these decisions about what's going on right now. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, I was awakened. And I usually sleep good. And I was awakened, and it was that spirit of fear that I recognized that has come against me at different times. And I was laying there in bed, and it was literally like fear was just coming over me. And I sensed the Spirit of the Lord speak to me and say, "Do not dishonor me through fear and unbelief. Do not dishonor me through fear and unbelief." I'm preaching to this church today. We must not dishonor God through fear and unbelief. Don't dishonor God through fear and unbelief. I'm going to ask them to put on the screen Revelation 21 and 8. Revelation 21 and 8. Do not dishonor me through fear and unbelief. There are people today that you might not know how you're going to do this, how you're going to do that, how this is going to work out, but I'm telling you, you got to speak faith. You say, "Well, I don't get into all that positive mental attitude." I'm not talking about positive mental attitude. I'm talking about the Word of God. We've got to get the Word of God above everything else. We've got to speak God's Word first. When you look at this, in Revelation 21 and 8, it gives a list, a quite interesting list. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's quite a list. But would you look at what starts the list? It's very easy for us to know that abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. No. But look at what leads the list, the fearful and the unbelieving. What we need to understand as a church and what we need to understand as apostolic people is God cannot handle unbelief. God cannot handle it. He cannot handle it. See, what we must understand is when prophecies go forth, when a prophecy goes forth, that is the unconditional Word of God being spoken conditionally to the people. We could have a prophecy every Sunday of what God wants to do with this church. But unless we position ourselves to walk in that, it will happen with somebody. But it's not unconditional that it will happen with us. You say, "Well, I don't know that I believe that." Well, consider the children of Israel. Who told them about the what land? The what land? The promised land. Who made the promise? God. Can God lie? Is there anything that God can't do in that kind? No, absolutely not. Did they go into the promised land? No, not all of them. Why? Because there came a time when God finally just said, I've had enough of your unbelieving. I've had enough of your murmuring. Don't you remember I split the Red Sea? Don't you remember that I gave you? Don't you remember I've rained food? What else could I do to convince you that I am your God, I am your Father, I love you, I will take care of you? I spoiled the biggest nation in the world. I gave you their goods, and I even accepted you back when you took the blessings of that world and made a god and served a false god out of the blessings I gave you. And there finally came a time when he just said, forget it. There will be people that will go into the promised land, but it's not going to be you, because I prophesied it, and that is an unconditional word. But the unconditional word demands we step in conditionally and position ourselves for that word. I'm talking today to the Moss Bluff Church about faith. You want to focus on faith? Then let's get people into faith, but then let's get into the deeper, the continuing steps of faith. I'm talking to seniors right now. Don't let what has happened to you in your life beat you down and get you on the sidelines and get you thinking, well, if I can just hold on to the end. No, this is not about holding on to the end. This is about thriving until we die. This is about a Caleb spirit at 85 years old that will look at a mountain and say, give me this new mountain. That's what I'm preaching about today. So if Moss Bluff Pentecostal Church is going to say we're going to be focused on faith, then let's embrace it. Then let's embrace faith. Let's be people of faith. Let's create a place where people know that, listen, those people are people of faith, not just in what they say, but in how they operate. There is a level of faith in this church. We need to have faith in God. We need to have faith in ourselves through the power of God. After all, Paul said, I can do what? All things through who? Not myself, through Christ. We need to have faith in God. We need to have faith in what God wants to do through us. And we need to have faith in each other. We need to have faith in each other. And even when people have situations in their life that they get hit hard and they may even make mistakes, that should be when the family of God comes around them and says, look, we've all made mistakes. And yes, you made a big one, and I hate that for you. But we have faith in God, and we have faith in you. Now get up and make things right and keep moving forward. Don't you think about leaving this body of believers that has faith in you. People who make major mistakes, they need to hear that from people. Now they have to repent and they have to make things right. I'm not talking about just forgetting things and I don't mean that, but I'm saying when somebody submits themselves to God, and when somebody repents and somebody says, I was wrong, I'm telling you, the body of Christ ought to come around and tell them, I got faith in you. I could spend another 30 or 40 minutes talking about faith, but we don't have that much time. Let's bring people to faith, and let's deepen our level of faith. And then I saw your second focus, family. Excuse me. This is, we need revelation of what's supposed to go on in families. The church was never intended to replace the home. Never. It has never been God's plan for Well, you just be faithful to church, and then the pastor and the leaders and the staff and whatever. You don't have a responsibility at home except to make sure people get to the campus. That is not God's intent. And here is what I'm seeing. I'm seeing the void in homes becoming a tsunami in the church. I am seeing that people are expecting the church to do what only can happen in the homes. What only can happen. And so what I'm seeing is pastors literally smashed, pastors and spouses. I'm seeing people run around like chickens with their head cut off. I'm seeing all of this, leaders trying to do all of these things that's absolutely impossible to do. I'm standing here from, I started I led my first youth group when I was 18 years ago. When I was 18 years old, and I'm 57 now, and I've had 30 years of experience at one church and some years at other churches and a lot of involvement. And now over the last 2 years, I travel all the time around the world, in the States. I'm talking to pastors. I'm talking to churches. I'm in different churches every week. So I'm only saying that to say I now have a very clear view of a major issue that we have in the church. And I believe that issue is that the home is expecting the church to do what cannot happen at church. And the expectation of the church is in a level that it cannot be answered at church. It will not be answered at church. The reason why it cannot be answered at church, it will not be answered at church, is because God does not expect it all to happen at church. People preach about faithfulness and be faithful to church, and you absolutely do need to be faithful to church. But understand, the scripture says, "Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." So as I studied that a few years ago, it dawned on me that some of the most deceived people are the most faithful to church. And the reason why that dawned on me was because what happens is people start thinking that hearing is doing. And so we become professional hearers. And we do not move into doing, and then deception sets in. Should we be faithful to church? Absolutely, we should be faithful to church. But here we go. I'd like to just give you a couple of thoughts about your focus of families. Our homes, our dwellings must get in biblical, divine order. We must get our homes in divine order. We must get serious about getting our homes in divine order. Ephesians 5 would be a great place to start, and it speaks of things like this. It starts off with mutual submission, and then it goes and talks about men must embrace loving their wives as Christ loves the church. Men must love their wives as Christ loves the church and gave himself for it. Anything I say today, do not hold your pastor responsible to this, okay? I am a guest. I am not the pastor. I'm just sharing some things that I think and some things that I have seen. Men, it starts with us, and we must do what the Bible says. We must love our wives, give ourselves to them as Christ loved the church. And whenever Melanie and I are teaching this, she loves to look over at me and say, "Die for me." I don't know why she enjoys that so much. And finally, I have started looking back at her and says, "You're about to kill me. So, you know, however you want to take all this, that's fine, but it would be good to study this out. And men, it says that, and then women, it says that women are to submit to the man. And when the man is loving the woman as Christ loved the church and given himself for that, then it's much easier for that. I might as well go ahead, since I'm already out on a limb, I'll just dive off. We're going to have to quit apologizing for what the Bible says. And we're going to have to start speaking biblical language. And let me tell everybody, that level of love does not make a man weak. And that level of submission does not make a woman a doormat. The problem is the church is listening to the world. And the church is now almost in ways, I almost hear some people at church, it's almost like they're apologizing for the Bible. I can tell you this, we will never be apologetically strong. We do not apologize for the Word of God. We dig into the Word of God to understand the depths of the Word of God. There is nobody that understands this phone that I am using today like the creator of the phone. I use it to my benefit, but I do not understand it. Nobody understands us like God. And He gave us direction for how, if we will align our lives by this, then everything will work according to His will and according to His plan. But we got to get our families in order, because I'm seeing a lot of families that are not in order. I'm seeing a lot of families, everybody's been born again, everybody is talking in tongues, been baptized in Jesus' name and faithful to church, and the families are not in order. I can be very honest with you, and I can tell you that in the last 3 years, I've had to do some serious work in my family because I allowed my family to get out of order because I became so consumed with the work of God that I allowed things in my own home to get out of order. So I'm telling you, I know that it can happen even when we have good intentions. But we've got to get our homes back in order, divine order. You need to study it. You need to dig into it. You need to let the Word of God speak and shut out some of these crazy things that are coming to us. And these people, we're listening to this talk show. We're listening to that talk show. We're listening to this person. We're picking up this book written by this religious person and this book written by this religious person. And I'm not against education, and I'm not against those books. After you've dissected what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? Whenever I did premarital counseling the last couple of years, I would tell the young man, you go do a personal study on every verse in the Bible where it says husband. Tell her, you go do a biblical study, or a personal biblical study on every verse that says why. We got to understand. We got to get this thing right. We've got to get in divine order, because if we will do it God's way, we'll have God's power. If we'll do it God's way, we'll have God's provision. God has not left us down here. Good luck, guys. I love you, but you know, you're on your own. We're not on our own. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us His Word. We do not, as the Bible says, we do not have to sorrow as those who have no hope. We do not have to live as those who have no hope. But we're going to have to kick some mess out of our homes and get the Word of God back in our homes. And we're going to have to kick some junk out of our lives and spend time with God and spend time with God praying and God in His Word for us to be able to understand the ways of God. The Bible clearly says train up a child. It does not say entertain down. I'm not saying that we can't have fun in homes, but I am saying that if I had it to do all over again, I can tell you the questions I would have been asking Kendra and Braden. My first question would not have been, is your homework done? Is your room clean? That would not have been my first question. No, my first question would have been, have you read the Word of God today? Is there anything we need to talk about that? Have you talked to God? That would be where I would start. If I could wind the clock back, I guarantee you, because I can tell you this. I can tell you, folks, if God ever becomes more important in our homes than homework, there's going to be a major change in our homes. God is just somewhere down the bottom somewhere. He's just wherever. It's just, you know, No. God has to be first in our homes. God's got to be first with us individually. I'm talking about families. Our homes should be equipping centers. Children, I'm talking to you right now. You need to obey your parents. You need to obey your parents. You say, well, but you don't know. My parents are crazy. Well, there were days I thought my parents was crazy. And there's definitely been days that my kids think they may think I'm crazy today. But I can tell you this. Pastors are human, but their office is divine. Parents are human, but their office is divine. And what we must do is we must get ourselves in divine order, and we must go to the Word of God and get a lot of other things out of our lives. I'm asking you. I know what it was like. I would do counseling. I remember one young couple that came to me, and they explained to me what the mess they were in, and they said this to me. And this may be a repeat here, but they said this to me, how did we get in this mess? And I looked back at them, and I was able to talk to them in this manner because of the decades of relationship I had with them, and they knew that I loved them. I wouldn't have said this like this to somebody that I didn't have a deep relationship with. I said, how did you get here? I can tell you how you get here. You got here. You're hardly ever faithful to church. You don't pray. You're not in the Word of God. You're not prioritizing God at all, the things of God. You've got a lot of junk in your life, and you're asking me how you got here? Are you kidding me? Where else could you end up? How else could your life be any different? You don't pray, you're not in the Word of God. You don't fast, you don't honor God with your money. I don't know, he might be nicer than I am, but whenever people would talk to me about their money trouble, the first thing I'd ask them is, do you pay your tithes? I just go ahead and go there. Well, you're just going to be another preacher accused of you know, just being after money. Well, stack it up. We're accused of so much. I mean, what's next? It's a biblical principle. I even jumped off the high dive at our church one time, and I said, look, we want you people to be right with God, and we want it so bad that if you're not comfortable paying tithes on the amount of money that you're making, no problem. We will pray that God will bless you down to whatever level you're comfortable with paying your tithes, because we want you right with God. And we know God robbers are going to be in trouble. And God help us when we get God robbers on the platform singing. And God help us when we have God robbers taking the offering. And God robbers leading. And God, I know, I swerved. I'm talking about families. I'm talking about us getting our families aligned under divine order. I'm talking about it. Why? If you have faith, I'm telling you, if you are not a tither, I'm talking tithing on the money that you're making and not cutting corners. If you're not a tither, you just commit for 1 month to do it with a good heart. You commit for 1 month to do it, and then at the end of that, it's between you and God. But I'm talking about God's plan. Had a guy ask me to pray for his finances, found out he wasn't paying tithes, and I told him, I'm not praying for your finances. What am I supposed to do? What do you expect me to do? Pray that God will go against his plan? Can't do that. Absolutely. Listen, families, let's get in order. We can have good relationships. Yes, we can. Our homes do not have to be just chaotic messes. It doesn't have to be that way. We do not have to accept empty relationships, living as familiar strangers in our home. We do not have to accept that. We're children of God. God has given us His Word. And when we align ourselves by His Word, everything changes. Talking about families. I can tell you what the power of Acts, when it speaks of daily, from house to house and in the temple, I can tell you where daily had its power, and I'm hurrying. Acts 2, those people were people that understood Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. When they rise up, when they go to bed, write it on the doorpost. The power of daily came from continually. And continually cannot be answered anywhere else other than in our homes. And so the power of the church will flow from the homes. And so what happens is we turn Sunday church into a weekend drug where we smoke a little church, snort a little church, shoot up on a little church, hoping that it will carry us through until we drag back in and think, it's God time. No, God wants a continual relationship with us. A relationship. And so, Moss Bluff, think about your families. What should happen is there should be a church on your street, and you should be living in it. Talking about launching churches around here? We could launch a lot of churches if we would really focus on what God is saying about our families. Then I won't take much time on this at all, but when we go to purpose, it's that reason for living. It's that ministry. It's ministry to God. It's ministry to God and man. It's God connection. Church, please hear me. You got to be connected to God. Individually, you've got to be connected to God. And then it's not enough that we are connected to God. We need to help those in our homes be connected to God. I'll give you some great marriage advice. Don't talk to each other in the morning until you've talked to God. Changed our marriage several years ago. We started that. How many of you, when you wake up in the morning, you're ready to go? I mean, you're ready to talk. You're just ready to go. How many of you are like, okay? I mean, there's not good or bad here. Okay. How many of you need some time? You're on a slower. Okay, good. Not good or bad. One of the great marriage changes for us was years ago when I finally realized this, that I was always ready to go. I was always ready to talk. Melanie was not. And so finally, I would just be in my recliner reading the Bible, and whenever she would walk through out of the bedroom, I would just give her the peace sign, and I wouldn't say a word. I just like that. I'm telling you, it changed things. I mean, we ought to study and learn each other and not just keep expecting people to react the way we like it. Oh, boy, I just really jumped off on a big one there. It'll help you. It absolutely will help you. It will help you. And it was amazing what that peace sign did. That was it. She needed coffee, long runway, and then she was ready to talk later. But then when we really started getting very serious about, talking to God first and spending time with God first, it makes all the difference. Train yourself when you wake up. Your first waking thought is how great God is. I know I've said this here before, but maybe some of you wasn't there that Sunday. And that is a life changer. Train yourself. Train yourself. Train yourself. You wake up, you start quoting scripture in your head. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Talk to yourself about God. God is great. There's nothing coming my way today that God can't handle. He's already in it. He can take care of this self. Quit sentencing everybody in your house to your bad mood in the morning because you won't focus on God. Quit doing that. Let's speak life into our homes. Let's get up and put our faith in God. We don't have to live like this. I think that is the driving thought that has been taking me over the last several months. God's people do not have to live like this. We do not have to accept this. We are not sentenced to wake up every day and just be down and out. And I know depression is a real thing. I am not making light of that. I know anxiety is, I totally understand that. But how we go about fighting that. Come on, let's believe that there's power in the Word of God. Can somebody believe that there's power in the Word of God? Can somebody start speaking faith? Can somebody start letting, I'm talking sometimes, I mean, it's out loud. Why not as God dropped that prophet in and said, prophesy to these dead bones. It's time for somebody to start prophesying to some of the dead bones that you're living in the middle of. Walk back in that house and prophesy. Walk back in that house and prophesy. I'm speaking to somebody today. There, look, you don't have to be some spiritual whatever to walk back in your house and look at your wife. Go back in the bedroom if you got kids and you don't want the kids to hear it. Go back in the bedroom, shut the door, just join in and say, look, we don't have all the answers, but let's just agree today that we're not going to keep living this miserably. And we're going to figure this thing out. You don't have to have the wisdom of Solomon. You don't have to have all that. Somebody needs to make a declaration that even if I don't have all the answers, I can tell you this, I will not accept living the way that I'm living. I will not believe that God in heaven intends for us to live as familiar strangers. You're going to have to speak it. You're going to have to speak it out. And whenever we're going to talk about purpose and we're going to talk about ministry, I got a good idea. Why don't we start inside our homes? Why don't you minister to your spouse? Why don't you minister to your kids? Kids, why don't you minister to your parents? Why don't we learn? Why don't we turn our homes into an equipping center to where we even understand about ministering to each other? Because I have often said what we really are, we are at home. If I'm a jerk at home, I'm a jerk. It doesn't matter how. It doesn't matter. Really and truly, I don't know what you're thinking about me. Here I am preaching. I put on the preacher stuff. I came here. I had a Bible. I had a word from God. We're friends, all that. Okay, good. I don't know what you're thinking, but I'll tell you who I am. I'll tell you who I am. I'm who Kendra and Melanie and Braden see inside our house. That's who I am. And so if we can take that back and we can decide, Satan, you have caused enough confusion. You've caused enough confusion. We're taking our home back. And we can't change one thing, and all the mistakes we've made are made. And all it's done. But we have power over today and tomorrow. And whenever we start ministering to one another at home, and then we start letting that spread, and then we start ministering to one another in the church with a major focus on the fatherless and widows, like James 1:27 says. And when we start allowing the ministry to flow out, there will be so many lives touched, because I'll tell you what the greatest example will be that will speak to people is when they see you at work and you're not all in the same tizzy they're in, and they see things coming against you, but you have peace some way. And when these things hit you, you seem to kind of, you know how to navigate it. That is going to get attention, because there's so much chaos in this world. I'm even talking to young people right now. You're in high school, you're in college. When there is a confidence that comes to people when they have put their faith in God and they have a relationship with God, and when things go wrong, they handle it differently. Now we're talking about purpose, and now we're talking about how God is going to be drawing people to us, and we're going to see open doors. And we can do it with faith, and we can do it with family, and we can do it with purpose. And I'm not here just saying that your greater days are ahead of you, but I am saying this: the greatest days of Moss Bluff Church can be ahead of you. Can be ahead of you. And I'm not even just talking about number. I'm talking about number, and I'm talking about depth, and I'm talking about growth, and I'm talking about people who come in and out of here with such a faith in God that everything that goes wrong does. We're going to have to get to where major things can go wrong in our life and it not even change our expression. Now, I'm not talking about a death in the family. I'm not talking about a major thing like that. But there's a lot of things that bug us that if we would get in the Word, and we would get in prayer, and we would let the Word get in us, and we'd let the Word do a work in us, and the Word would be coming out. Why do we let other religions talk more about the Word than we do? I was talking to Jack Cunningham the other day, and he called a particular church out. And he said, you want me to tell you, Terry, why they're seeing more miracles than we are? And I said, why? He said, they'll publicly praise God because they asked for a good parking spot and found one, while God can do major things in our life and we don't even talk about it. Come on, people. Come on, let's step up. Let's step into this. Let's start speaking faith, believing faith, exhibiting faith. Let's make this a house of faith. People come in, there should be expectation. God is going to do the miraculous in this place. Every time, people's minds are going to be changed. Their eternities are going to be changed. Situations are going to be worked out. And this is a place for families. I'm talking about if it's one person living in a home by themselves, they are a family. When we talk about families, it's not mother, father, children, and everybody else. It doesn't count. No, we're talking about the family of God, but we have different households and different dwellings. And this is a place that will build that, and this is a place that will build purpose. Moss Bluff, I hope something in that spoke to you. And now we're going to stand, and anyone that wants to walk to the front to give the Spirit of God an opportunity to take the Word and pinpoint a word or two that you need to start flowing out today. If anyone will accept that, will you just walk to the front right now, and we're going to pray. Just walk to the front and stand. It can be a new day. It can be a new day, but it's got to be God's way. A new way, God's, a new day, God's way. Come. We will do three prayers. We will do three prayer focuses, and I'll turn it over to your pastor for him to close it however he chooses. Right now, can we pray about faith? About faith. About faith. That our faith, will be increased. Let us all pray together now. Lord, we come to you. God, your word says, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith? God, we will be people of faith. We will be people of faith. God, I pray that your Spirit will lead us. Will lead us to verses about faith. God, I pray that even Hebrews 11 will come alive in our hearts, in our spirits. I pray, God, that people right now that have not come to faith in you, that they would, in full salvation, and answer every step that your word talks about salvation, and not allow family tradition to hold them back from biblical revelation. Let it be. But God, I'm praying that some people that need to start speaking faith instead of doubt. Some people need to start believing. God, bring their belief back alive, because their belief has died. I'm believing God. I'm believing it. I'm believing it. Ask him. Say, God, increase my faith. God, increase my faith. We have to have people raised up that can operate in faith. In faith. We must be people to inspire faith. We must be faith carriers. Help our faith, God. Help our faith. I want us to pray now about our families. And before we pray about our families, listen. We're all human. If we could do things over, every one of us, there are things that we would do over. This is not about perfection, but it can absolutely be about new direction. And let's pray right now about our families. God, we come to you. We want our homes to be pleasing to you. But God, first of all, we have to do what we can do individually. Help us individually. God, I pray that there will be a desire. I pray there will be a desire in these people to find themselves biblically and find their roles biblically and start ignoring what the world says and be defined by the Word. Be defined by the Word. That men can become the men they need to be. That women can become the women that they need to be. That single fathers would have extra wisdom, God, for the role that they are playing. And single mothers would have greater wisdom and greater insight. God, you will give us wisdom and insight for whatever we're up against. We're praying for it. God, I pray right now for our children. I wish every child would pray right now in a very special way. Every child about being obedient. I'm talking teenagers. I'm talking any unmarried child in a home. God, we're praying for our children that a spirit of obedience would come over them. That their heart, they would be willing, God. They would be willing that they would seek after you. Give them a heart, God. Give us as parents wisdom to know what needs to be eliminated from our home. God, enlighten to us the direction of areas in our home that the enemy has a foothold. God, to where we can have peace in our homes. Where we can be directed in our homes. Let it be done, God. Let it be done. That our homes would be equipping centers. God, that we would be able to train up our children. Let it be done. Let it be done. Can we all now pray for our purpose? For our purpose. We must be used by God. Quit Quit thinking that you cannot be used by God. Get that out of your mind. God, right now, I pray against the enemy's voice that would convince anyone that they cannot be used by you. God, you will use every one of us. Our purpose is ministry. Our purpose first is ministry to you. We want to minister to you just like they did in your word. God, we're praying about our ministry to you, our ministry to those in our home, ministry in this church. God, I pray that people will have a burden for the ministry and that they will prioritize their lives in a manner that they can be involved in the ministry of the church. But God, help us to understand that where ministry really happens is off of this campus and out of our homes. As we're in schools, as we're at work, God, we're in connection with people. Help us stay focused on that we can connect people to you, that we will be God connectors. Help us be people in this church of faith and of family and of purpose. Let the power of your Spirit do it, Jesus.